Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Myrtle Volume 1 by GTT. Carber is an interactive puzzle book built around 100 murder mystery logic cases adapted from the popular Myrtle format, rather than presenting a conventional crime novel. The book asks readers to act as solvers, using grids, clues, suspect lists, weapons, locations, motives, coded messages, and visual details to identify the correct solution in each case. Its genre sits between classic logic puzzle collections and playful detective fiction, combining the orderly elimination process of grid puzzles with the atmosphere of a stylized murder mystery casebook. The puzzles range from elementary to impossible. So the book is designed both for casual readers who want short deductive challenges and for experienced puzzlers seeking more demanding cases. Its purpose is not only entertainment, but also structured reasoning practice, requiring readers to compare statements, test constraints, notice contradictions, and move from partial information toward a single defensible answer. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, four-part mystery solutions create a compact deductive system. The central mechanism of Myrtle Volume 1 is the requirement to solve four linked questions in each case: who committed the murder, which weapon was used, where it happened, and why. This structure gives the puzzles more texture than a simple suspect identification exercise. Each variable interacts with the others, so a clue about a location may indirectly eliminate a weapon, while a statement about a motive may clarify which suspect could not be responsible. The reader is therefore pushed to think relationally rather than linearly. This is close to the tradition of logic grid puzzles, where solving depends on mapping constraints across categories until only one combination remains possible. The murder mystery frame makes that abstract process feel concrete. A suspect is not merely item A in row 1, but part of a miniature case with narrative stakes. The design is efficient because the same small set of categories can support many distinct puzzles. It also teaches an important reasoning habit. An answer is strongest when every component fits the evidence, not when one clue appears persuasive in isolation. Secondly, progressive difficulty turns casual puzzle solving into methodical reasoning. The subtitle signals a broad difficulty range, from elementary to impossible. And that progression is important to how the book functions. Easier cases introduce the basic rhythm of reading clues, marking a grid, excluding options, and checking whether a proposed solution satisfies all conditions. Harder puzzles increase the burden on the reader by requiring more indirect inference, greater patience with conditional clues, and closer attention to wording. This makes the book more than a random assortment of mysteries. It encourages a gradual shift from guessing toward disciplined procedure. A solver who relies on intuition may get through early cases, but will struggle when the clues no longer point directly to a conclusion. The structure rewards habits such as separating known facts from assumptions, tracking negative information, and revisiting earlier clues after new eliminations appear. This progression also broadens the audience. Newcomers can enter without specialized knowledge, while experienced puzzle readers can treat the later cases as tests of precision. The difficulty curve is a practical teaching device because it lets readers feel why rigorous deduction becomes necessary. Thirdly, detective fiction atmosphere makes logic grids feel narrative rather than mechanical. A distinctive feature of Myrtle Volume 1 is its use of murder mystery style to animate what could otherwise be a purely formal puzzle format. The cases are short, playful, and theatrical rather than realistic police procedurals, but the genre framing gives each grid a reason to exist. Suspects, crime scenes, motives, and absurdly sinister circumstances create a sense of investigation, even when the underlying task is logical elimination. This matters because many logic puzzle books can feel repetitive when they present only abstract categories and clues. Carber uses the familiar language of detective fiction to vary the reading experience and to make the solver feel involved in a case file. The tone is not mainly about suspense in the novelistic sense, since each mystery is brief and self-contained. Its value is in giving personality to the reasoning process. The reader is invited to interpret clues as evidence, not merely data points. That narrative layer helps sustain attention across 100 puzzles and differentiates the book from puzzle collections that rely only on numerical, spatial, or wordplay challenges. Fourthly, codes, illustrations, and maps expand the evidence beyond written clues. Although the logic grid is central, the book is not limited to direct verbal clues. Some puzzles ask readers to notice illustrations, decode messages, interpret maps, or handle riddle-like information. These additions broaden the cognitive work involved. A standard grid puzzle mainly tests whether the solver can process formal relationships. Myrtle adds moments where information must first be extracted before it can be used in deduction. A coded message, for example, may not immediately reveal a suspect or location. The reader must recognize the pattern, translate it, and then decide how the decoded result fits into the grid. Visual elements can also create a useful change of pace, since they require observation rather than only text parsing. This variety helps prevent the collection from becoming monotonous and reflects the broader appeal of armchair detection, where evidence can appear in many forms. At the same time, these devices remain accessible rather than technical. The emphasis is on careful attention and basic puzzle literacy, not advanced cryptography or specialized knowledge. The result is a hybrid puzzle experience that mixes deduction with observation and light code breaking. Lastly, the casebook format supports short sessions while rewarding full completion. Myrtle Volume 1 works as both a collection of standalone puzzles and a book designed for cumulative engagement. Each mystery can be approached in a short sitting, making it suitable for readers who want a compact challenge rather than a long narrative commitment. That format is one reason the book fits well as a gift item or travel puzzle book. It does not require continuous reading, and a solver can return after a pause without losing a plot thread. At the same time, the volume is not merely disposable. The presence of 100 cases creates a sense of progression, and the reported inclusion of a larger hidden or meta element gives dedicated solvers a reason to complete the whole sequence. This dual structure is effective because it serves different reading habits. Casual users can solve individual cases for entertainment, while completionists can treat the book as a larger puzzle object. The design also reflects the influence of daily puzzle culture, where repeated short challenges build familiarity with the format. In book form, that habit becomes a curated sequence with increasing complexity. In conclusion, Myrtle Volume 1 is best suited to readers who enjoy active participation rather than passive reading. Fans of logic grids, murder mystery games, escape room-style clues, puzzle magazines, and light detective fiction are the clearest audience. It is also appropriate for readers who want to practice analytical habits in an entertaining format, because each case requires attention to constraints, elimination, contradiction, and evidence integration. The intellectual benefit lies less in learning factual content and more in strengthening a method read carefully. Separate certainty from possibility, test combinations, and revise assumptions when a clue rules them out. Compared with many puzzle books, Myrtle stands out because it gives logic grids a strong thematic identity. Instead of presenting anonymous categories, it places deduction inside miniature murder cases, with suspects, weapons, locations, motives, visual clues, and occasional codes. Compared with conventional mystery fiction, it shifts responsibility from author to reader. The solution is not simply revealed, but earned through structured reasoning. The book also benefits from its flexible rhythm. Individual cases can be solved quickly, yet the full set offers sustained challenge and a sense of completion. Its main appeal is this balance between accessibility and rigor. It is approachable enough for casual puzzle solvers, but varied enough to hold the attention of readers who want a more demanding deductive exercise. If you would like to support G.T. Carber, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.